Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line. We are live right here on Sports Grid on this Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, as always, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you feeling?
I mean, it's Thursday. Usually I'm active, ready to go, Kevin. But I have to tell you, I look at the clock right now, 7:02 Eastern time. By the time we're looking at that clock, about 12 or 13 hours later, there will be professional football on our TV. Whoa. Should I say, I guess, welcome to football season?
I think so. It's exciting times, no doubt about it. We will break that all down for you here and then some on the early line. Let's get it started, though, with our 7-7 top headlines, talking about a game that I think more people watch this show than this game. That's why we got to hit it right off the bat to give people the updates there. The Olympics, interesting stuff. At the end of the day, though, the USA men's basketball team does advance to the gold game. A 97-78 route of Australia, trailed at the end of the half by three, obliterated them in the third quarter, and Donnie pulled away with a comfortable 19-point victory.
Yeah, some nice balanced scoring there. Kevin Durant, 23 points. Devin Booker, 20 points. But I have to say, you know, we've been a little bit harsh on Pop here, and the sign of a good basketball coach is making adjustments and getting your team back on the court ready to play, and you are correct. How about that halftime? Hey, guys, we're down. You really want to win a gold medal? Show us something out here on the court. 32-10 in the third quarter, and off Team USA goes to the gold medal round. 97-78 victory. They were losing in this game for a good portion of that first half, obviously for most of it. But what a nice second half here. Now they head into the finals. And I guess when you're looking at it overall, to me, I thought Australia was the one team that would give Team USA the most problems. Not so much here. Mm-hmm. Almost a 20-point win by Team USA. Let's get that goal. Let's get it.
The other semifinal game, France-Slovenia, is live right now. We'll give you updates on that as it does come in. How about over in the NBA free agency continuing? Kemba Walker reaches a buyout agreement with the Oklahoma City Thunder and is going to the Garden.
Yeah, how about that? You know, a kid that grew up locally there in the Bronx, starred at UConn. So many big moments with UConn in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. Now he comes home. And I have to tell you, it's a great life you live where you show up to work like, hey, man, you got 2 years, 70-some-odd million left on your contract. Let's send you home with a nice big care package and paycheck. And, oh, yeah, go sign for about $8 million with the New York Knicks. What a life some of these NBA guys live. But that's a nice move for the Knicks. Championship-bound Knicks? No. Are the Knicks better because they got Kemba Walker? Yes, they are.
But to also just, the greatest moment of Kemba's basketball career has happened at Madison Square Garden. I think he will be very excited to be back in that building. Also, the 76ers have been a very quiet offseason for them thus far. They do bring back Danny Green, a player who they lost during the postseason, and some do feel like, Donnie, swung their future a little bit. He's returning to the 76ers.
Yeah, not the end-all, be-all player where if he's out, you can't win anymore. But he was a nice piece, a veteran piece in that rotation that had some really good playoff experience throughout his NBA career. And you saw it did hurt them. A little bit of a battle with the fans in the offseason. Hey, lay off Ben Simmons. You know, Philadelphia fans, we're going to talk what we want about Ben Simmons. But he is back 2 years, $20 million. That's a good value signing for the Philadelphia 76ers. You need those vets that have been there, done that, 3-and-D type of player. I like that move for the Philadelphia 76ers, Kevin.
The Sixers the other day also brought in Andre Drummond on a minimum deal, but realistically, everything is waiting until Ben Simmons finds a new team. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates out there. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Thursday morning. And Donnie mentioned it at the top. The NFL Hall of Fame game is tonight. Steelers, Cowboys, Pittsburgh laying 2 points, a total checking in at 32.5.
We might not know who's playing out there, but you know what, Kevin? There will be people actually playing tonight in an NFL game. We'll see how it goes. And it's one of those things where I get very excited for because it's the kickoff of the National Football League season. After a few plays, maybe a quarter, I sort of go a little bit weary on the game because you don't really know who's playing, what they're trying to do, the schemes that they're using. But it's nice, Kevin, to have football back in our lives. And again, right now, all the way through till February, I'll take it. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, really excited. We will, again, be breaking that game down. How about Max Scherzer made his Dodger debut? 7 innings of work, only 2 earned runs, and 10 strikeouts as Mookie Betts goes yard a couple of times when the Dodgers win that game 7-5.
Superstar shining there, and then you took a look at Max Scherzer. We thought he would be energized and amped up to get his first start in Dodger Stadium wearing that Dodgers uniform. 7 innings, 10 Ks, 109 pitches. He was sensational. The Astros made a little bit of a game of this, and maybe not so much that starting pitching, which the Dodgers have a lot of. Kenley Jansen, 1 inning pitch, 2 earned runs. Maybe that's the Achilles heel for the Dodgers, but they are superstar powered, and a big win for the Dodgers last night over the Astros.
Not as good a news for the other LA team. Anthony Rendon is done for the season. Only 58 games for Rendon on the year. Only batted .240. Wasn't all that good. It's a guy, Donnie, that they paid a ton of money to come in and star next to Trout and Ohtani. And unfortunately, his season is over.
No, that's a lot of money spent as well, and I loved Rendon for Washington. I thought it was a great signing there out by the Los Angeles Angels to try to match up in the middle of that lineup, Trout, Rendon, and Ohtani, and you're not going to see that. We'll see when Mike Trout comes back, but also, Kevin, as you know, this is one of the teams that I was going to look forward to betting team total-wise throughout August and September once they got that full lineup back. Not going to be the case in this one. We'll see when Trout comes back, but that hurts. If they're looking to make a run, they needed Rendon.
Yeah, really unfortunate. Hopefully Trout is back. I wonder if that does delay his return a little bit. Ohtani did get a win last night. Last headline here for the people as well. Imani Bates, a name that I'm sure plenty are familiar with. The top high school prospect in the country is going to reclassify 3 college teams on his list. If he chooses any of them, futures odds will move. Keep it right here. The early line does continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. The NBA free agency window continues to bring a lot of different things for us to sink our teeth into, but we got to start here with Kemba Walker going to the New York Knicks. And Donnie, this is the kind of move that it felt like the Knicks needed, trying to keep themselves afloat. You and I have talked about this, maybe you a little bit higher on some of their moves initially, Evan Fournier bringing back Derrick Rose and Alec Burks, but Kemba Walker is the kind of player I think that this team needed. What do you make of Kemba joining the Knicks?
I like it, and it doesn't hurt, and that's the question. And you're right, Kevin. Since we've been talking about NFL free agency, we're taking a look at a lot of things that make sense and don't make sense. You know, teams that are looking to push their way into the playoffs, that makes sense to me, particularly franchises like the New York Knicks here, Kevin. When you try to take a look at what they're doing, it's not so much about winning an NBA championship, which they all want to do. Hey, it's New York City. You're supposed to have a high payroll. Each and every year, you're supposed to compete for championships. But in order to compete for championships, Kevin, you have to be a continuous playoff participator. And I think that's what you're going to have now with the Knicks. Do I think they get as high as the 4 seed this year? Probably not. There's a little bit more competition. But as you take a look at the starting 5 here, Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, obviously Nerlens Noel is a nice piece on the bench, Derrick Rose. They have enough pieces along with Thibodeau where this looks like this is a playoff franchise for the next couple years. And that's a nice start for Knicks fans who over the past, 20 years, not so much to cheer about, at least championship-wise here, Kevin.
And the reality is, I think maybe the Bucks gone a little too far on Kemba Walker. Kemba last year was still just under being a 20-point-per-game scorer. I know he didn't play a ton, or at least maybe as much as the Celtics fans would have wanted, but keep in mind, this was the short turnaround season that we knew was going to take a toll on teams that went further into the postseason, like the Boston Celtics, who are in the Eastern Conference Finals. In his 43 games, 19.3 points per game for Boston. He is still the kind of scorer that this Knicks team will need. And don't even go through what the Knicks did in the regular season, Donnie. In the postseason, they averaged 97 points per game against the Atlanta Hawks. They didn't have a single player average 20 per game in that series. And they have the ability to offset some of the Kemba action with Derrick Rose, who can still give that team a boost here. The Eastern Conference playoffs will continue to be competitive, but it was the kind of move that this Knicks team needed to make if they were going to keep themselves in the mix. The 76ers, a team that I don't think anybody is doubting whether or not they will make the postseason. It's more about how far can they go. Danny Green coming back to the fold here, Donnie. And this does feel important because there are still, I think, some folks who wonder if Danny Green never goes down and maybe eliminates some of the ideal spacing that the 76ers had, maybe things turn out a little bit differently for that franchise. Ultimately, though, they bring him back and Philly remains at 18-1 to win the NBA championship.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking forward to, right? The minute they got Danny Green, we're going to rush over to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, ooh, they had to move off that 18-1 up to 15-1 or 14-1. Not so fast. It's a nice piece back that the Philadelphia 76ers needed. And the Sixers are getting a lot of negative, you know, I don't know, fan support per se in the Philadelphia area, but also nationally. I think they're waiting to see what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. Let's just say nothing happens with Ben Simmons here and they bring back Danny Green, pretty much the same crew of last year. You know, Dwight Howard left in free agency to the Los Angeles Lakers. They replace him with Drummond. You still have to keep in mind, Kevin, this was the number one overall seed in the East last year. So just because they don't move on from Ben Simmons, that doesn't mean they're going to miss the playoffs or fall to the sixth seed. It's still a very good basketball team, and it's a nice piece to bring back veteran leadership in the locker room, a guy that can hit some threes, a guy that can play good minutes in the playoffs, which you're right. It was a shame they didn't have Danny Green down the stretch to try to lead them, because then you rely more on Matisse Thybulle, some of the younger guys. Tyrese Maxey was getting a lot more minutes for Kyle Korkmaz. You would have liked to see Danny Green eat up a good chunk of that, and maybe it would have helped the Sixers get past the Atlanta Hawks. But going into 2021, I think it's a nice move. But I do think over the month of August, there are going to be a lot of rumors heating up on where Ben Simmons is going to go. And that's when we can make that final analysis before the season starts on what we think the Philadelphia Sixers will be.
And then just to pair the first two signings that we're talking about here, the teams, Damian Lillard is a name that I think a lot of people are waiting on. I think the people of Philadelphia are waiting on. The Knicks have often been linked to Dame. Now, does bringing in Kemba Walker stop you from trading for Damian Lillard? No, not necessarily, but does it make sense? Is it really going to play out in that way? I'm not so sure. It feels like this is the guy, Damian Lillard, of course, that we're talking about here, that the 76ers will want. But this is why I am a little bit skeptical of things in Philly, because to me right now, this roster is not one that will have Ben Simmons play another game for them. And until I see what the return is, I'm not so sure I can get in on the 76ers, and certainly not at an 18-1 price. The other name that they would love to add would be Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, unsurprisingly, yesterday sending out cryptic tweets. This is going to be the easiest I told you so of all time when he requests a trade out of Washington come September. But I don't know, Donnie. Spencer Dinwiddie coming in and getting a bag from the Wizards. Is everything okay in Washington? Do we need to gobble up these 100-1 futures tickets to win the title for the Wizards?
Now, I'll tell you what would be sensational. The joke we've been having is here is, hey, Bradley Beal's still there. Kyle Kuzma's trying to get Bradley Beal all fired up like, I'm coming to help you. I'm going to be your wingman here. Wouldn't it be nice if Spencer Dinwiddie does the same thing and Beal's like, man, finally got some help on this basketball team to see if we can make a run at this thing and how happy he is to be in Washington. Yeah. But Dinwiddie, Beal, Kuzma, Hachimura, Bryant anticipated starting lineup. But also you have some nice pieces there you got on the bench. Kentavious, Caldwell, Pope, and whatnot. But again, we're talking about getting into the playoffs. Did they make a move with Dinwiddie and getting Kuzma to make the playoffs? I mean, possibly. And again, keep in mind, I always say this by saying it's expanded from 8 to 10 teams now with that play-in tournament. So there is a chance you can make it in. But to me, you had Westbrook, you had Beal last year. It was one of those things. Let's get two superstars, see if we can somehow make a run at this thing. They did get into the playoffs, got bounced quickly by the Philadelphia 76ers. But looking overall at the franchise, I don't know what they're trying to do here. And I love the fact that Bradley Beal up to this moment saying, hey, I love this city. Like, just put some guys around me. I'll play. If it doesn't look like we're going to have a great season, I'll still play as hard as I can anyway. Just give me my money. I'll be happy here in Washington. But overall, from a franchise health perspective, I'm not really sure, Kevin, what they're doing. I look at the Bulls. I like it. I look at the, you know, Knicks. I like it. I look at this because they're making moves. But it almost seems like, Kevin, to me, they're making moves just because they're making moves, if that makes sense.
They got rid of Russell Westbrook. Russ is supposed to be the second star. They've replaced Russ with Kyle Kuzma, who, again, Bradley Beal refuses to exist on this team, and Spencer Dinwiddie, who's coming off a major injury. Like, I refuse to believe that Bradley Beal will be returning. Two other pieces of NBA news here, Donnie. You could tell me if either one of these catch your interest here. LaMarcus Aldridge eyeing up a potential return after health was a reason that he stepped away from the game last year. And then Victor Oladipo signing for a vet minimum to go back to the Miami Heat.
That's an interesting one, the Oladipo one, because that's a big money guy that's just coming back. I don't want to say resurrecting his career, but maybe getting on better footing with overall NBA teams. Give me a one-year deal. Let me see if I can play on this really good Heat team. Turn that into another larger contract down the line. I like what Miami is doing, and it doesn't surprise me one bit. Eric Spoelstra is a very good coach. Pat Riley is one of the great architects in NBA history and continues to remake this team. Now, the one thing that is interesting about the Miami Heat, as we questioned or at least looked at, Kyle Lowry's a tough player. Jimmy Butler is a tough player. Bam Adebayo, P.J. Tucker, all guys that would get down and dirty. Victor Oladipo seemingly on the opposite end of that spectrum for me, a little bit more smooth, you know, softer around the edges. This is a good move for Oladipo because if the Heat are good, most people get picked off of good teams in free agency, and maybe he parlays this to a bigger contract, Kevin.
I think for Miami, this is a risk-free move. This is a guy that looked like he was going to be a max player for a while. He's only 29 years old. You have him on the vet min. If he ends up performing well, you have the bird rights. You can pay him whatever he needs to. And if he gets injured again, this guy showed up to Miami, played, you know, five games last season. No harm, no foul. It's a vet minimum. It's a worthwhile attempt there for Miami. If LaMarcus does come back, I'd expect him to land in Brooklyn. I'm not sure how impactful that would be. All right, we take a break here on the early line. We'll come on back and preview yesterday's action in Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the early line, time to recap some of yesterday's action for Major League Baseball. Dodgers Astros is where I wanted to start, but Donnie said no, it must be the New York Yankees Baltimore Orioles game. The Yanks win this one 10-3. They go and put up double digits for the second straight game. They had done that three total times in their previous 105 games. It is nice to see the Yankees hitting. Yes, they are supposed to hit against this team. There's been about 1,000 games they've played this year where they're supposed to hit, and instead we're looking at live team totals of twos or one and a halves, which I know is what Donnie typically prefers, but it is nice to see the Yanks go out there, Donnie, and put up double digits and take this series comfortably from Baltimore.
Now, a few days ago, we had a segment, and it dealt with a cat running onto the field. And I told you, Kevin, I said, you know what? Monument Park, a possibility, but certainly a monumental night in Yanks history. We're going to look back at that night and say, you remember that time where the cat was so disgusted that he had to go out on the field and break up the, I guess, bad Maloiks, if you want to say here, on the New York Yankees? Now, the best part about that is back-to-back games, the bats have woken up. Now, it is the Orioles. I understand that. But back-to-back double-digit games here to send this team possibly streaking all the way through August and September into the playoffs, Kevin, we are going to have, maybe we need to get on the ground floor here, get some trademarks out there. We can get some T-shirts, mm-hmm. put a cat on the T-shirts the night the Yanks turned it around with the date. Kevin, we're talking about being millionaire status here with just the paraphernalia that we can sell. But getting back to the Yankees, a nice win. You have to beat the teams you are supposed to beat. They are now doing that. Can they continue hitting for double digits each and every night? I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it's nice to get the good vibes back in the locker room. Good wins by the Yankees, and while the Boston Red Sox and maybe Rays are trying to figure things out, maybe can steal a couple games, because all you need is to get to September and be within, what, 4 or 5 games, and you got a legitimate chance at that division.
Yeah, I think the one thing I just have to point out quickly is Anthony Rizzo. Sometimes you make a move at the deadline and you appreciate the aggressiveness and it doesn't really work out. Joey Gallo, not doing much. Then there's times you get a guy like Anthony Rizzo, who is hitting 400 since joining the New York Yankees with 3 home runs and an RBI in every single Yankee game that he has played up until this point. He has been unbelievable for this baseball team, and it is exactly why I started to slam this table and beg them to be buyers, because they needed this kind of juice. They needed an influx of talent. I know what they were supposed to be. It's clear that they weren't. Now they have a guy in Anthony Rizzo that is just providing a tremendous boost up and down this lineup. We also have to talk a little bit about another team that's quite hot right now. Winners of 4 in a row. Again, are they supposed to be winning these games? Yes. Has it always led to results? No. The Philadelphia Phillies yesterday beat up on the Washington Nationals 9-5. And similar, in fact, to the Yanks, Donnie, they also trailed 3-0 early doors. But the one thing you got to say about this Phillies team right now, no matter how much they get down, they do seem to stay in these baseball games, and a nice 9-5 victory for Philadelphia.
How about this stat? You know, a much maligned Bryce Harper, because he make that big contract, you expect Herculean efforts each and every night. But how about last night? 3-5 out there, now hitting 306 on the season. Was always like, aha, Bryce Harper looks like he's just a 240 or 250 hitter now. Elevating his game at the right time, and that's what you're supposed to do. When you face teams that are out of it, like the Washington Nationals, who throw subpar pitching at you, 9 runs, 12 hits is exactly the tonic for that, for picking up victories. And you're right. They started out slow. Chase Anderson was terrible on the mound, but how about the guy who actually picked up the win in this game? Matt Moore, 4 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 3 Ks, picking up the W in this one as the Phillies easily beat the Nationals 9-5. Now, also in other National League headlines here, the Mets did pull out a victory from the Marlins, so the Phillies still stay 1.5 games back, and now you're going to start flipping over that pitching lineup where you're going to get back to the Nolas, you're going to get back to the Wheelers, back to the Kyle Gibsons, as opposed to just running out there Chase Anderson, Matt Moore, and also Vinny Velasquez. So things looking up for the Philadelphia Phillies. They'll have a couple tough series coming up, but also keep in mind, still one of the easier schedules in Major League Baseball heading down the stretch. That could help them there. Mm-hmm. As long as that pitching staff top end, first 3 guys stay right, they'll be in it right to the end.
And the interesting thing, you mentioned the Mets as well and get their win. So do the Atlanta Braves. Yesterday, they beat the Cardinals 7-4, getting home runs from Jorge Soler, deadline move, and Adam Duvall, deadline move. And when they made these two moves and a number of moves, Donnie, at the break, I know that you were very impressed with Atlanta going for it. They do sit bang 500. They're the only NL East team right now that has a positive run differential on the season. This looks like it really will be a tight, contested 3-team race for this NL East crown.
No, it really does, and I've been asked questions a multitude of times here. Looking back at the Braves, I still feel like they're probably the best chance to win the NL East. Now, hey, the Mets are still in first place by 1.5. The Phillies slightly above the Atlanta Braves. But when you just try to break these teams down, Kevin, it just seems to me the more honest effort night to night to night always seems to come out of the Atlanta Braves, right? Oh, Mets, they never hit here. Oh, the Phillies continue to blow games with their bullpen. And then you take a look at the Atlanta Braves, like, okay, they don't have the best bullpen, but it's not, you know, atrocious. They don't have a great starting lineup, but they made additions at the trade deadline. Not the best starting pitching that they have, but each and every night, I figure I know what I'm getting. Case in point, the last couple games here with St. Louis. St. Louis continues to run out bad pitcher after bad pitcher, And that team is good enough to hit bad pitching. And hey, when you look around Major League Baseball, there's a lot of haves and have-nots. So if you pick up the games against the have-nots and sort of hold your own against the haves, that's a sign of a pretty good baseball team. I thought the Atlanta Braves would be out of it for this year. Acuna goes down, starting pitching goes down. Hey, we'll just hang in there and see what happens the rest of the way. No, the front office said, let's add some pieces here to see if we can hang in this NL race. And that's what they're going to do. So you got three teams heading down the stretch over the back end of the season that should factor into it. And the Atlanta Braves would not be shocking to me, Kevin, if they end up winning the NL East.
It is going to be really fun. Just to give people an idea, you have three teams in that division that are plus 270 or lower to win the division. You look around the board, there's not a single division that compares to that in the way that this thing is going to be so tight down the stretch. I have to bring up the Angels-Rangers here. The Angels got a nice 2-1 victory. They're back to 500. Shohei on the mound, six innings of one-run baseball, struck out six. They're, you know, doing what they can, but it has to be quite demoralizing to that locker room, Donnie, to hear that now Rendon done for the season, still really not anything concrete on a Trout return here. It feels like it will be once again another lost season for the Los Angeles Angels as they add another MVP trophy to their case.
You're right. When you're taking a look at when you usually have the best player in baseball and you have, quote unquote, the best player in baseball multiple times, meaning winning MVP awards, it doesn't have to always lead to an end-all, be-all World Series championship. But you figure you have a team that is in contention each and every season to at least make the postseason. And if they do make the postseason, you can make a run. Not the case here with the Angels. Artie Moreno, the owner, is spending money here. It's just not working out. You had that big three that we always talk about in the NBA. You know, you're going to have Ohtani, Rendon, and Trout. You're like, man, that should be enough to get us over the hump if we can get them some decent pitching throughout the season. Trout gets injured, Rendon gets injured, and now also you're not even getting him back. Like, you're not that far out of the actual, you know, trying to make the playoffs from a wild card position on August the 5th. But the fact that Rendon's going to sit out, does that now slow or delay Mike Trout getting back into the lineup and he just calling it, say, hey, hopefully Ohtani wins it, we'll celebrate his MVP, and next year we can retool and get after it? It's really a shame because this is the semblance of a decent baseball team and a fun baseball team to watch overall, and we're just not going to get there this year. But again, 2-1 yesterday, Ohtani was fantastic on the mound, not able to get a hit in that game at the plate. But what he's doing is something we haven't seen in, you know, 100 years of baseball. Credit to him for continuing to fight on. He's the show out there in L.A., and Shohei Ohtani is showing up.
The thing is, with this Angels team, you say to yourself, okay, maybe it'll be next year, right? Maybe next year this team will go out there, Rendon will be healthy, Trout will be healthy, Ohtani will continue to be baseball's most valuable player. If the debate is who's the most valuable player in the sport, and you have answers one and two, as Donnie said, you have to be able to go out there and make a run. But boy, it feels like we've been saying this for the, again, we've been saying it every single year since Trout's there. Is Ohtani going to turn it around? How aggressive can they be in free agency? I know I often talk about the play that I made on the Blue Jays to miss the postseason. I also made a smaller play on the Angels to make the postseason. I felt like their, you know, second half schedule was a little bit vulnerable there. Sure, they beat the Rangers, but they've squandered opportunities. And again, bad news like this is just has to be incredibly defeating to that locker room. And still, no real word on Mike Trout. It'll be interesting to see what the future holds for that franchise here. Dodgers-Astros last night, Donnie, Max Scherzer's debut. It's exactly what they paid for. Seven innings of two-run baseball with 10 strikeouts, 109 pitches in the debut. Like, just a whole bag of, yeah, this is what you got, and this is why you got me.
Yeah, no surprise here. I mean, big-time pitchers pitching in big-time games and new situations. I thought the adrenaline would be high. It was. He pitched sensationally. But also, you know, we are gamblers here. And taking a look at overall, like, do I want to pay that much for Max Scherzer in a Dodgers uniform just yet? Probably not. But we're looking at the nines and the nine-and-a-halves out there as a total for that game. I'm going, boy, that's kind of odd, Kevin. A nine-and-a-half and a Scherzer start in a pitcher's ballpark in a playoff atmosphere. Yeah, have that one turn out 7-5, 12 runs, easily hitting the total. But also when he take a look at the Dodgers pouncing early, which is what I thought would happen against Odorizzi. Seven runs over the first three innings, didn't score the rest of the way. Obviously the Astros do have a decent bullpen, but also Houston coming back and chipping away to make a game of it at 7-5 late. Kenley Jansen giving up a couple runs, one to keep an eye on, and possibly, Kevin, maybe a World Series preview. We'll see.
I think we'll have to talk about that a little bit more, but also let's just emphasize Mookie Betts, what a welcome return to this lineup. Three games in the month of August. Three total home runs for Mookie Betts. Sometimes maybe we forget because, again, Mookie, a little banged up during the season. Another guy who has an argument as baseball's best player. A tremendous start to him here in the month of August. We'll talk about this maybe being a World Series preview as we get to Hot or Not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's time for Hot or Not right here on the early line. Donnie just alluded to it. Dodgers, Astros yesterday going down. Both games thus far in this series have had an atmosphere to it, an aura to it that potentially could suggest it is a World Series preview. And we do have odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook to for the World Series correct matchup here. Donnie, Hot or Not, Dodgers, Astros is a World Series preview.
It is mine, and it's been that way for the last 2 months. I've, you know, said I love the Houston Astros. I think overall they're the best team in the American League, and even though the Los Angeles Dodgers don't have the best record in baseball, heck, even in their own division, I still think talent and depth-wise, they are the best team in the NL, and the cream usually rises to the top. So I'm going to go hot on this at a plus 800. There are some interesting ones going down that list, and it looks like the top three out of four here, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook all deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Houston Astros and the Dodgers plus 800. White Sox and the Dodgers plus 950. Then you go down to Tampa Bay and the Los Angeles Dodgers at 16-1. We did just see that matchup, Kevin. And I got to tell you, if there's one team that can navigate the postseason and do it quietly under the radar, including getting to the World Series, it's probably those Tampa Bay Rays. I still think the Dodgers are getting there from the NL. It's just a matter of who you're going to match up with in the AL, because I really like the Astros. I like the White Sox. And you can never count out those Rays, but I'm sticking with the Dodgers being there. And I have to go with my initial prognosis. I do think the Astros make it out of the American League. So I like that. Plus 8-1. I'll take that as the matchup in the World Series.
Let me just also tell people, you on the FanDuel Sportsbook can parlay AL and NL pennant winners. You will be getting less than that 8-1 price. So you're doing yourself a nice little service here to be perusing in this outright market. But to answer the initial question, it's a not for me. I don't know what it is. Again, Donnie and I just end up on opposite sides here all season long. Donnie's like, I don't know. The Giants have won 70 games. I don't get it. I'm sat here like, the Dodgers aren't playing that well. They have the best run differential in baseball. Nothing's wrong with the team. And I just can't get there. I feel, again, if this team ends up in the wild card game, we are one tremendous Yu Darvish outing away from them being one and done. They then have to go on the road if they get past the Padres to San Francisco, who they keep losing to. And we've been tremendous at home all year long. The price is not bad on 8-1. I find this to be a fascinating market. Donnie, I have talked about this potential World Series preview since they met on Sunday Night Baseball just a couple of Sundays ago. White Sox Brewers. I can't. It's 20-1 as well. That is a tremendous number for two teams that have outstanding bullpens, great frontline pitching, and lineups to boot as well. I look at those squads. I look at that price, 20-1 for White Sox Brewers. That jumps out to me.
No, it certainly does. And I do like the Brewers' depth, because when you're winning baseball games, particularly in the postseason late in September, what do you want, Kevin? Very good starting pitching, very good back end of the bullpen to shut games down, and also a lineup that can hit and does have some pedigree. They go out and get Escobar, which is a nice move for the Brewers. Also, Christian Yelich due back, you know, probably any day here over the next couple days from the COVID IL list. I do think that does make a lot of sense. But sliding it down and moving it, the Giants out here, I just don't think they can make it. And just to quantify what the Dodgers are at this point, Kevin, where you say there's a salary cap in baseball, all teams should be created equally. Cody Bellinger, an MVP and MVP candidate, who you saw obviously major run in the World Series championship, he bats eighth. Cody Bellinger bats eighth for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Just think about that moving forward, where one of the best players last year in baseball, it's like, you know what? You're struggling with keeping the lineup. Most teams are like, hey, Bellinger's our star. He's going to bat 3, 4, or 5 no matter what happens. He bats eighth on that team. It's an embarrassment of riches all the way through. If guys get hurt and they take a couple weeks to get ready to come back, the Dodgers are handling that in their 1-8. I just see them being so talented that no matter what happens, Kevin, in the NL, I'm trying to match up the Dodgers and then just trying to look to the opposite side here to take another team. So theoretically, Kevin, if I really like the Dodgers, you know, you put a unit on the Dodgers on one side three different ways, and then you go the Chicago White Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Houston Astros, and you can still be very profitable if the Dodgers land in the World Series as your anchor and one of those three teams show up, which are the favorites here in the AL.
It's a great point, too, because if you compare that to just the flat Dodgers price to make it to the World Series, that's only plus 155. Yep. So that's a really, really good point by you. And I'll also add this. Like, I'm talking about you, Darvish. I don't know. If you don't know who a team is going to throw in the wild card game, usually that's bad. For the Dodgers, it's because they have the NL Cy Young favorite in Walker Buehler. They just traded for Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw. He's like maybe a top five pitcher of all time. Again, just a ridiculous team that they bring to the table here. I want to bring up some NFL hot or nots here. Cowboys, Steelers, NFL Hall of Fame game today. I am very, very excited for this. Then, like, the second quarter will start, and that'll probably no longer be the case. But Cowboys and Steelers, again, two of the teams that the NFL has to offer. Some really interesting players here. And Donnie, we're looking through some of the props market here. How about Dak Prescott? Hot or not, Dak Prescott will throw for 5,000 yards this season.
I'm going to go hot on this one here, Kevin. And the reason, it's 17 games. I keep on prefacing that saying because I know he can hit that number in a 16-game season if he's healthy. Do I think he can do it in 17 games? Yes. And also, keep in mind, the competitiveness that I do think is going to take place in the NFC East and also the NFC to make the playoffs, I don't think Dak Prescott's going to have a luxury, Kevin, where the Dallas Cowboys are at 13-3 heading into Week 17 with everything wrapped up, and he's going to be able to sit that game out. I know last year he was injured 1,856 yards. Obviously, he wasn't going to be able to compete or even match that number because you can't play on a snap-and-half ankle. But before that, Kevin, 4,900 yards, which included 30 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. That offense is stacked. They should be able to move the football. If he's getting 17 full games, Kevin, I'm going to take that as a hot, and I believe that he can throw for 5,000 yards this year in the NFL. So I'm going to take that as a hot, high on Dak Prescott, as long as he's, hey, look, hey, Donnie, what about training camp? Still trying to get back on that ankle. Looks like he's having some shoulder injuries. I have to take this on its, you know, coin flip now that's saying he's going to be healthy by the time we start game one. And I expect big things out of that offense, Kevin. I'm going hot here. He's going to get 5,000 yards.
So I don't know what I have to fix my timeline. I'm tired of seeing CeeDee Lamb videos right now. Like, this guy's going to have like 2,000 receiving yards. It's gotten out of control. I initially, Donnie, was going to say absolutely not. I worry about health. I worry about him playing enough. Dak Prescott last year, the four games that he started and finished, I'm taking the Giants game out, was on pace to throw over a 17-game season over 7,000 yards. 7,000 yards. Like, look, yeah, he's going to come back. He has to come back. The defense can't be that bad again. But as Donnie said also, during a 16-game season, he threw just under that 5,000 mark. The weapons are tremendous. Yeah, Dak probably is going to throw for 5,000 yards, even if health doesn't permit. His over-under for the season, 48.25.5. That is a strong play to the over. 7,000 yards on a 17-game pace. Absolutely unbelievable. One of the players that people will be getting able to see tonight for the Steelers is Najee Harris, their first-round rookie running back here. Donnie, hot or not, Najee Harris will rush for 1,000 yards this season.
I'm going hot on this one because the old adage for a running back is, you know, sometimes you say, hey, well, wide receiver's got to learn the offense, say, or a quarterback's got to learn the offense, so his rookie year is going to be a little bit of a struggle. Hand the football to the running back and watch him go. And in the NFL these days, the running backs are use them and lose them, which means on the rookie contract, load them up, give them 250-plus touches, and just see what they can do. And then by the time they're at the end of that 4 or 5 years, if you're a first-round draft pick, you say, hey, thanks for the memories here, and we're going to do that again to a young rookie running back. Yeah. He's an explosive running back, a dominant running back in college. He's going to get a big-time share of that offense. Also, let's keep in mind, Big Ben getting a little bit older. Ben Roethlisberger was 27 years old, saying, hey, coach, let me let it rip 50 times a game. He said, well, maybe he can get more passing, receiving yards combination. But if I'm looking from a Steelers perspective, I don't particularly like their offensive line here, Kevin, and they're playing in a tough division. But if this kid's going to stay healthy, let's just say he plays the full 17 games, and again, looking at the Steelers, because when you're trying to take prop bets, you still have to say, are they going to be playing all the way through? I don't think the Steelers, once again, as the analogy I just used, will be 13-3 sitting at week 17 because they have everything wrapped up in the division or conference where they're the number one overall seed. 1,000 yards is not a lot. 1,000 yards over 17 games after we only had 16 in the previous years, he can do that. I expect a big season out of this rookie. And 1,000 yards no longer is that marker, Kevin. Like, hey, that's an unbelievable season. Right now, 1,000 yards is like, okay, that's a good season. And I think he can have a good season.
I absolutely think this is hot here. Like, his over-under is 1,500. Like, I think this is a strong play to the over here on Najee Harris. First of all, just in case anybody's like, hey, but, hey, like, do rookie running backs run for 1,000 yards? Yup, all the time now. Because they're fresh, they're young, they get the ball all the time. Last year, Jonathan Taylor and James Robinson, undrafted rookie James Robinson on the Jacksonville Jaguars that won a football game, ran for 1,000 yards. Najee Harris is going to get the ball all of the time. All of the time in this backfield here. I don't think we're doing Benny Snell snaps. Like, I think this is clearly going to be him. And just to give people an idea, Najee Harris, to lead the NFL in rushing yards, is the 11th choice on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Last year, we had 9 guys in the 16-game season get to 1,000 yards. If you go just to the year before that, there were 16 running backs that got to over 1,000 yards. Now you add a game, Najee Harris absolutely, as long as the health is provided, should be getting to 1,000 yards on this season. Let's bring it back here a little bit to the NBA side of things here. We've talked a little bit about Kemba Walker going to the New York Knicks. We've talked about how tight the Eastern Conference is going to be. Plain and simple, Donnie, adding Kemba will make the Knicks a playoff team this coming season.
I'm going hot on that one. Last year, they did have the number 4 overall seed, but also keep in mind as well, the Eastern Conference here in the NBA, Kevin, got much better here in the offseason with a lot of moves being made, as we saw, obviously, the Knicks getting better. You're also seeing the Atlanta Hawks shoring up their young core, and the Miami Heat, which were in the 6th hole last year, they're probably going to move up higher with the moves they made, the Chicago Bulls. And then you take a look at maybe the Raptors, Cavalier, Magic, and Pistons round out the bottom. I do think they are a playoff team, because if you are the number 4 seed, which the Knicks were last year, you add to your pieces. Another year under Tom Thibodeau. No reason to believe in my mind that they can't finish in the top 10 in the Eastern Conference. Knicks aren't a great basketball team, but they're a good basketball team, and good now gets you in the playoffs, Kevin, in the East, or in the NBA, I should say, with 10 teams per conference getting in. Knicks are going to the playoffs. Absolutely hot.
I certainly can't imagine a world in which they are not inside that top 10. And I will say this in terms of the play-in, if the end goal was to stop tanking, I think when you consider that 12 of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference are going for one of those 10 spots this season, it has been successful in that way. If you get to the play-in, you play it out. But if you just narrow it down, are they one of the 8 best teams in the Eastern Conference? I still do have my reservations about this team. There's a lot of teams that have strengthened their rosters just the same in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be really interesting to see what a team like the Toronto Raptors does on that cusp. I lean not, but again, the East is going to be competitive. I think Donnie's right. They are a play-in team at the minimum. We take a break, come right back. The early line continues on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're right back here on the early line. Quick little segment before we break into hour number two. A lot of good stuff coming in hour number two, including an NFL Hall of Fame game preview. The thing is, you never know. Everything could change if rumors become reality. And Donnie, always on the case following all of the breaking news alerts. I'm sure his phone has been banging up here. Donnie, are there some speculations about potentially a MVP caliber quarterback in the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, one of those off-season stories that is not going to go away anytime soon, with Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans being the fourth-string quarterback in camp, leaving practice early, and coaching staff and also front office. And boy, he's been really good in camp so far, helping out everybody, including the young quarterbacks. We can see right through that. He's only there so he doesn't get fined. Some news breaks in the middle of the night that the Eagles, possibly, and the Texans are close to a deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Philadelphia Eagles. Poured a little bit of cold water on it this morning, saying they're not close because we don't know the legalities of what's taking place with Deshaun Watson off the field and if a grand jury might indict him at this time. No franchise in football, Kevin, is going to offer one first round, let alone three first rounders for a guy that you don't know is going to be on the football field. But as soon as we get some clarity on the off the field issues, what we say, maybe 24 hours before Deshaun Watson gets moved, once we find out exactly what's going on. But that news coming out hot and ready here, Kevin, on a Thursday morning. One to keep an eye on, and we'll probably be talking for at least a few more weeks until we get clarity from the off-the-field issues.
There seems to right now be two realities for Deshaun Watson. Either he does not play in the NFL this year, which is a bad sign probably for him long-term, maybe ever returning to the NFL, or he's the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what seems to be the two potential outcomes here for Deshaun Watson. And Donnie was, you know, breaking this down a little bit, saying they probably have a deal in place already, and they just need to clear the air on some of the situations, you know, off the field. Probably true. Once that stuff comes out, you'll know pretty quickly what the future does hold for Watson. We take a break here on the early line. We'll come on back, talk about USA basketball, and update you on France Slovenia.